Hey, I'm Lisa Whittle, and welcome to the Jesus Over Everything Show, affectionately known as Joe, where around here you will always hear honest conversations about life, faith, and true strength, courage, and love in the midst of our real everyday life. Doing something fun and exciting for the summer, airing the best of the best Joe from the past two seasons. That's right, we are bringing you the top 20 most listened to Joe shows of the past year, shows with some of my most amazing guests, therapists, Bible teachers, some of my close friends, talking about sex and spiritual abuse and how to have hard conversations and showing up when it's hard. Get ready, buckle up. Best of the best, top 20 Joe shows are here. Hey, thanks for showing up. I'm Lisa Whittle, and welcome to the Jesus Over Everything Show, affectionately known as Joe, where this season it is all about truth-telling, finding the good, and showing up for our lives today, no matter what has happened, even yesterday. Hey, before we close out this month, I need to thank and mention Dwell, my partner for Joe. If you haven't checked them out yet, what are you waiting for? More scripture over scrolling, social media, yes, please. If you haven't heard, Dwell is the incredible audio Bible app, totally customizable, reading plans, devotional plans, daily scriptures to encourage you. You name it, Dwell has it. Yes, your favorite translation is in there, and yes, you can choose the voice who reads it to you. Dwell is just incredible. Go check out our partner discount or sign up for a free trial with Dwell today at lisawhittle.com/Dwell. And of course, that is in the show notes too. Thank you, Dwell. A beautiful show today with a beautiful guest, one of my favorite people, truly. TV host, musical artist, best-selling author who has a new book out, Holding On When You Want to Let Go, which I'm convinced is at least a cousin of The Hard Good. Sheila Walsh is back on Joe because this woman is not only the real deal, but also really gets where we are in our life and with our struggles. And I've told Sheila this, but I love to hear her tell stories. None like her, truly. So many reasons I know this show will encourage you, including her words to you if you think you are alone or the only one going through something. Might surprise you, but so good. And the email she got that made me want to laugh and cry and high-five her all at once. You're in for a great 30 minutes, so grab some coffee and listen to this fantastic conversation with my friend, Sheila Walsh. Super excited to talk to you today, Sheila. We actually just had role reversal because you interviewed me for your show Life Today a few weeks ago. You're such a pro, almost like you've been doing this for a while. Oh my goodness. How long have you been interviewing in some capacity? Because I mean, this is like, you've been doing this a long time. How long?
Well, I worked for 5 years at the BBC in London. And that was more of a, it was kind of like a rock gospel show. So I would interview the artists, you know, who came on. In fact, it was funny because one of them, Britain is a very different marketplace than America. And, you know, literally maybe 2 or 3% of our population go to church. So I said to this one well-known artist, I said, we're so excited to have you here, but if you could try not to use any of the kind of language of the kingdom, you know, if you could just, because most people listening have never been to church. And she was like, oh, I totally get that. So my first question was like, hey, it's so great to have you here in London. Is this the first time you've been here? And she said, I'm here to save the lost to any cost for Pentecost. And I'm like, oh, okay, hit it, let's go. So that was interesting. But then 5 years with the Christian Broadcasting Network and then 5 years now with Life Outreach International.
Wow. What is, have you had anything just like that really rattled you? On TV, because I mean, TV makes me nervous. So, like, you know, it's a different thing than a podcast, because podcasts we can just edit it; it's not a problem if you say something weird. But TV is a different animal. Yeah, you could do some editing, but that's a whole other thing. So, anything rattled you or like weird that's happened? Yeah.
Well, I was interviewing this guy who was one of the last American prisoners of war who was released from Vietnam. And he had been held in the Hanoi Hilton for, I think 5 years. His book is riveting. So I've got a 30-minute show with him. And I say to him, okay, take me to that moment when you realize your plane has hit and you're going down and you know you're going down in enemy territory. And he said, Actually, that was a very painful time in my life. I don't like to talk about it.
Oh, great.
And I've got 29 minutes left. So it's like, well, what's your favorite color? What
Right.
do you think is Vietnamese
Yes. Where do you go from there? Because I would be like, okay, I've got nothing. What do you do? Oh, Sheila, I feel that.
It's funny. And then I had one guest I was interviewing who had trained a bear in this really well-known movie. This bear was able to do all sorts of things, and he was the trainer. And I'm still not quite sure why we had him on the show. But halfway through the interview, and this is live television, he reaches over and puts his hand on my leg. And I'm trying to, yeah. And I discovered later that he was high on something and it wasn't
Okay.
Jesus.
Yeah, well, no. He was about to probably be backhanded, which was would be my reaction,
Yes,
like,
indeed.
yeah.
Yes.
Oh, Sheila. Okay. Well, I can imagine there are many stories, but I was just like, I know she's got at least a few weird situations that have happened. I mean, honestly, I admire, like, when I say you're such a pro, I really mean that. Like, it is a whole awesome thing to watch when people know how to do that, because it looks easy. When people are really good at that, it looks easy. Like ice skating, right? Like when I watch ice skating on TV and I'm like, I could do that, when actually, no, I definitely can't. Yeah. You have functioned in a lot of media roles, I would say. So I mean, you've been an interviewer, you're an author that has been interviewed, like this show. You have, I mean, musician, all kinds of stuff. What do you enjoy the most, or does it depend on the season of life you're in?
That's a good question. I mean, somebody else asked me that just the other night, and I thought about it. And some of it is the season you're in, because when I first came to America, I came as a contemporary Christian artist. So, and I was an odd fish in this pond because I had short, spiky hair. Sometimes my hair was purple. I used all sorts of laser lights and effects in concert. In fact, I
Oh, Sheila,
remember.
I remember. You were fantastic, by the way.
Oh, well, thank you. Not everybody thought that. I had people seriously at the end of one of our concerts trying to cast a demon out of me, because apparently red and green are the devil's favorite colors, which has totally ruined Christmas for me. But I loved that. But then, gosh, I think my present position at life actually fulfills all the things I wanted to do when I was 16, because that was, I wanted to study and teach the Bible. I wanted to share the gospel, and I wanted to care for the poor. And so I'm able to go to, obviously not in the last year, but I'm able to go to different countries in Africa where we set up feeding programs or drill water wells. And we go to Thailand and Cambodia and help girls get out of sex trafficking and into a whole new life. So it's kind of like I get to do everything I love at one time, which is just, I'm so grateful.
Yes. Well, here's what I know. You've been on the show before. I only have people back on that are really a favorite. Here's why you're a favorite. First of all, because in this Christian world, you've done a lot and you're a big deal, but you don't act like you're a big deal, Sheila. You treat everyone really well. You were that kind of person to me the first time I met you, and I don't forget those kinds of things. And I love that about you, and I want you to hear that, but I also want the listeners to hear that, because I think a lot of times when someone has heard of someone before, someone who's been in this for a while, they want to know, well, who are they really? And I just want people to hear me say that you are the real deal, and
Thank
so
you.
I want to tell you that's why you're a favorite.
Thank you, Lisa. That means the world to me. It's interesting. When I was co-hosting at the 700 Club, one of the things that was hard for me to reconcile was that I would have people who would come on set and they were immediately like, praise God, can't wait to share, very upbeat, not knowing that the two makeup artists were my really good friends and we hung together. And sometimes I would hear about how rude they would be to the makeup artists. And that for me, that just made me sad, that you're just kind of, you look at people and you categorize them. You're somebody that I need to be nice to, and you're somebody that I don't need to be nice to. And to me, that's just basic Christianity. I don't care about television. That's just basic Christianity.
You're exactly right. Well, it's even more for me too. And if people read your new book, Holding On When You Want to Let Go, which is so good, by the way, and they just read your introduction, they're gonna feel what I'm saying. They're gonna know exactly what I say. You say in the introduction, it all started with a magazine article and a question. Can you tell your story in 6 words? And then you gave your 6 words: Scottish, wife, mom, clumsy, dogs, Jesus. First of all, I really related, besides Scottish, no. And I only have dogs, so singular there. But other than that, I'm like, yeah, me too, definitely. But then I thought, what would my words for Sheila be? And here's my words: real, storyteller, humanitarian, traveler, Jesus lover, and friend. So that's my list for you.
I love that.
Yeah, that's my list for you. But you go on to talk about how it's nearly impossible to tell your life in 6 words because it's been such a full and complicated life. And I'm telling you, Sheila, I resonated with that because here's the thing. I've said this on multiple shows. When people interview me and they ask me the question, you know, well, tell people a little bit about yourself. That's my most dreaded question on an interview. Right? Because how in the world, what do you want to know? First of all, I'm not young. So, I mean, which story do you want? I've got 4 million, right?
Yeah.
But for you say, and this is true, most of us, it hasn't turned out like we want or expected. But there are 6 words that it kind of are the great equalizer, and they are hold on and don't let go. Those are the words that for all of us, you feel like kind of puts us on the same page, right?
Yeah, it's really interesting because before I even started to write this book, I was 3 chapters into a different book, a book on miracles, actually, because I wanted to know what does the Word of God actually say about miracles? Do we miss miracles every day because they're not what we think they would look like? And then COVID hit and I found myself spiraling again. I was diagnosed years ago with clinical depression, but I'd been pretty on an even keel for most of that time. But when I found myself beginning to kind of feel real despair and heaviness each morning when I woke up, I read what I'd written in these 3 chapters and it didn't help me at all. So I did that thing that we as authors hate. I hit the delete button and I just got rid of it all. Yeah. And I found myself trying to write from a more honest place. And so one night I just jumped onto Facebook and I said, okay, girls, simple question. How are you doing? And honestly, I sat there for probably, I don't know, 2 hours that night, just reading through the things that women were saying, that they were afraid, they felt alone, life felt out of control. I mean, just so many of those things that I was feeling too. Mm-hmm. And it's like, we so want a quick fix, but I have never found a quick fix for anything. I've found that everything is a process. Everything is a journey. But even when I began to dive a little deeper into, I got this great book. There's a guy called, I think it's John Phillips, who wrote a book. Yeah, John Phillips. He's got 2 volumes, thick volumes of exploring the Psalms. And the thing I love about his volumes is he'll tell you what's going on in the life of David when he wrote that particular Psalm. You know, was it when he found out his son Absalom was trying to kill him? Mm. Was it when, you know, it's just, and it just gives depth and weight to that particular psalm. And honestly, when I'd studied through some of them, that was what I basically kind of came up with. You know, there's times in life when all you can do is hold on and don't let go.
Mm. Goodness, it's so true. And your book made me cry because, here's why, because you just get it. You just get it. And I love books like that because I feel like sometimes we read a book to escape. Sometimes we read, and that's mostly fiction, probably. But, you know, when we read a book that's a nonfiction type of book, the kind of books I write, the kind of books you write for the most part, we want a book written by someone who gets it. And you get it. I mean, anyone who reads The Hard Good is going to love Holding On When You Want to Let Go because they are companions. I'm convinced of that.
Yeah, and they are.
And in that vein, you write, we need the companionship of brokenness, of people who love God but don't have all the answers. And I thought about that and I thought that's really so very true. I think a lot of times in the faith community, we think, oh, I've got to give them an answer. You know, somebody comes to us and they're sitting and they're in this deep, raw pain. They're sharing something and we think, oh, our mind's scrambling. Oh, what am I going to tell them? How am I going to help them? How am I going to encourage them? But I think, and I'm wondering, I guess my question is, isn't this maybe why community, more than even instruction, is so important right now?
Yeah, it's interesting. This morning I was talking to one of my dearest friends, Dr. Henry Cloud, and I was talking to him about looking after our adult children during this whole COVID thing.
Because
Christian spent a year by himself in his apartment with his cat, you know, because all his graduate school classes were online. And I watched him disappearing a little bit. I watched him struggle in ways that I wasn't aware of him struggling before. Yes. And Henry said something that I thought was so true. He said, your kids will never listen to you unless they understand that you are listening to them before you talk. You know, if you just think immediately, I know what you need to do. All right, here's something that would help. He said, then they don't hear a single word you say.
Wow.
But if you become this intentional listener, that you listen, then they're open to you being a bridge to help or to something else happening. And I think that's one of the things that I have learned. You know, when I went to seminary when I was 19, it was pretty much taught that, you know, if you're the person who's on the pulpit, on the platform, has a microphone, then you're perceived as a leader. You know, you don't open up about what you're struggling with. That you need to be the one that other people come to. And I lived that way for about 30 years, and it nearly killed me. But the interesting thing was when I ended up in the hospital, which I thought would be literally the end of me, I didn't expect to survive the experience, and I didn't want to survive the experience. I actually asked God if he would be kind enough to kill me. But what I discovered was all the other patients that were in my unit, and that it was a Christian unit in the psych hospital, they were all people who loved God, but as Brendan Manning used to say, whose cheese kept falling off their crackers. You know, they were all there. One was a missionary who had volunteered to become a missionary because she was sexually abused by her sister's husband when she was 12 and thought it was her fault. So she was trying to pay God back. A pastor who had a double life with a gay man and didn't know how to tell his wife, didn't know what to do, and eventually his life had just come crashing down. Mm-hmm. And it was so interesting. I found more real community in there than I had known up until that point in my life, because none of us were trying to fix each other. It was clear from our mailing address that, you know, we'd lost that position.
Right.
But there was genuine conversation, there was genuine care, and there was this, sometimes, I mean, there was one girl, she was really young, she'd slit her wrists, she was just darling girl. And at night, her room was next to mine, and she would often cry. And all I would do is I would go in and I would sit on the end of her bed and I'd hold her hand. That's all I would do. And sometimes I'd sit there for an hour till she fell asleep. But there's times when you realize, you know what, words are not going to help. What we need is the gift of our presence.
Mm-hmm. Wow. You know, I think about that, and I think about how that shaped you as a leader. I think about how that shaped you as an author. I think about how that shaped you as a woman and as a wife and as a mom. I mean, those are the kinds of things, you know, even as I'm thinking about the hard good and I'm thinking about all that, those are the kinds of things, Sheila, that, you know, I think Satan would want us to believe would disqualify, but,
right.
You know, that your experience in the hospital and all that. But what it did was it actually made you into such a, I think, important voice and a powerful messenger of the gospel. And, it, you know, that's the encouragement, I think, for people listening is as you experience these hard things in your life, things that you are sure will break you forever or disqualify you, you know, they actually change you if you allow God.
Yeah.
To change it, because you have a choice in it, and move you to this different depth of a place. And so I love hearing about that, you know, talking about hard things. For me right now, I think what is the most comforting, because I was thinking about your book and I was thinking about all that was written in there, so many things we could talk about. I was thinking about what people need, you know, in this conversation, because you and I could talk from many different places here, but I think what we need is to talk about, you know, what do we really believe about God right now? Because That's it. You know, if when life is hard, we know it is, and life's still going to be hard. That's John 16:33. In this world, there will be trouble, right? So we know that we don't know what's around the corner. We need to talk about, what do I believe about God? And for me, Sheila, right now, I think this the comforting thought is the deep belief that God is still and will always be in control. Like, yeah. I need that knowledge. Mm-hmm. I need that belief. I know that based on scripture. I trust that. It's the way I live my everyday life. You also write about that in the book. Is that the thing that helps you sleep at night too? Or what is it for you, the belief for you that helps you sleep at night?
You know, I'm reading a book at the moment. I don't know if you've read this one, Lisa, but it's by Dane Ortlund. It's called Gentle and Lowly.
Yes, yes.
And it's so fascinating to me. I mean, I'm an avid reader, but... And I wasn't even reading this as a potential guest. I was just reading this for my own soul. And he talks about the fact that there's only one place in scripture where Christ tells us what his heart is. Mm-hmm. And it's, I am gentle and lowly. Mm-hmm. And I think that is such an invitation to me to run toward him. Mm-hmm. It's not based on my performance. It's this invitation, this free invitation, just come as you are. I've got this... it's a memory from when I was 18, but it has really impacted how I see my relationship with God. I had a month before I went off to seminary after graduating high school. And so I decided that I would do some kind of volunteer work in our little town. And I volunteered at our senior center. And I would just serve, you know, meals and coffees and talk to some of the seniors. And I loved it. But there was this one guy I could never, ever get over to. He just didn't look up. He didn't engage. So I would always take his lunch to him in a tray. And one day I thought, okay, I'm just going to try harder. So I said, I gave him his lunch and sat down beside him. I said, hey, my name is Sheila. And I was born in this little town, but one day I think I'm going to go to America. And I mean, his face lit up like he just won the lottery. And he told me that he was from America. And from that day on, we became like the closest of buddies. But he did the most interesting thing every day after that when I showed up. When I would walk through the doors, no matter who else was talking or what else was going on, he would cry out, she came. And it was just this kind of, and so still these days, sometimes, some mornings when I feel like, oh gosh, I don't know what I'm going to do today, I'll take a chair. We have these little white chairs out in our patio, and I'll just sit on the chair and I'll just, in my spirit, hear God call over me, she came. She came. You know, we think we have to come with words or with good intentions or with a list of prayer requests. And some mornings I don't do that. Some mornings I just sit and remember that I'm loved and that I'm wanted and that I'm seen. And I think it's this little word trust, you know, trust and faith are interchanged so often in the Greek and the Hebrew, both in the Old and New Testament. And I think it's just at this stage and age in my life, I trust God. He's got a track record with me. I don't always like all the steps. I don't always like the directions that we've gone. But I absolutely trust that no matter what the 5:30 news says, God is still on the throne. God is still good. And he is in control.
Yes, absolutely. I think another thing people really feel right now, Sheila, is that they are very alone in their pain.
Yeah.
As if their burden is not shared by anybody else. Like, I'm the only one. And obviously that's, you know, Satan's strategy, right? Is to make us think we're the only one so that we feel, you know, weirdly isolated, very lonely, and, you know, unique in our struggle. Fill in this blank, if you would, what I wish people knew that say, I think I'm the only one is.
Okay. I mean, I hear that over and over, as you do. And first of all, I would say, stop watching the news. That sounds really dumb, but honestly,
no.
stop watching the news. It's just a train wreck. You know, if there's something important you need to hear about, it'll come up on your phone. But one of the things that Henry said to me this morning, I thought was funny, thinking of who he is as this brilliant psychologist, is he goes onto YouTube and watches Christian testimonies. And he said he'd gone through a period of tremendous depression after he had a knee replacement surgery and was really in a kind of a black hole and thought, I think everything that I thought was my normal life now is gone. And he said he felt really isolated. But he began to go onto YouTube and watch testimonies. And he said, there's something about hearing what God is doing in the lives of other people that just kind of builds you up. Yes. And makes you realize, you know what, we're not alone. Like I watched something this morning that was sent to me from some people in the underground church where they have this amazing thing where the greatest revival that's going on in the world at the moment is in Iran. And it's Christ literally appearing to women. And they're giving their lives to Jesus and forming these little underground Bible studies that I think the enemy would love to make you believe you are all alone. But yes. You are not all alone. And there's ways to build up your hope tank. Because hope, you know, I think that a lot of us have felt we've just lost a lot of hope in these days.
Yes.
But when you cut off all the bad news and you begin to kind of take in some of the amazing things and realize God is on the move. You know, what we're hearing at 5:30 is not the whole story. It's just a tiny part of the story. I think that changes things.
That is so, so good. I want everybody to hear what Sheila's saying right now, because this is really powerful. And I felt this way in my bones too, Sheila. I mean, it's no secret. I'm not a news junkie. I don't ever watch the news. I'll be honest with you. Mm-hmm. So, you know, if someone's looking for someone who has a great news source, it's not going to ever be me. I'll be honest. But I will tell you this, and I do try to keep up, you know, to understand what's going on in the world. Yes, I do think that's very important.
Sure.
But there's a difference between that and being glued to the news and being the kind of thing you're talking about. I think another thing that's at play here, which is kind of another side to this, but you've alluded to it. One is this self-focus that we have. And what happens when we are focused on ourselves and our situation, and listen, many of us have very difficult situations. And if there's anybody who has, I don't know if it's a gift. I guess it is a gift of empathy. I don't know. But if anyone has it, it's Sheila. Her book is just so tender. Like, I just felt like I said, you get it. And it's, it's not to diminish the struggles that we have. It's to say, I know for my own life that when I focus on all of my situation and all I know is what I'm living, then I am consumed by it. And I am convinced I'm the only one, and I'm convinced that my life is terrible and all of those things. And I think one of the reasons why it's powerful to hear the testimonies of what you're talking about and even what Henry was talking about and all of these things is because it does help us keep in perspective what's happening in all parts of this world. Because, you know, we live in this very small bubble of what is actually happening in God's kingdom, right?
Right.
God's kingdom is big. And there is persecution going on in other parts of this world. And God is causing revival in other parts of this world. And it's very difficult. It's very hard and good. It's very difficult and it's very powerful and it's very... it just stirs your soul. And it's one of the reasons why I encourage people, you know, even, you know, to follow on social media Open Doors Ministry, because, you know, see what's happening, because then it does help calibrate our day in and day out life. So not to get off on that tangent, but I do think it's really important. And I'm glad you brought that up, because I think a lot of us are very stuck in sort of one news cycle that we're really focused on. And that does very much color how we feel about our life day in and day out. So thank you for that.
I got this really, I mean, the letter made me laugh, but I got this letter the other day from a guy who lives somewhere in the Midwest, and he doesn't know anything about me. He just said, I saw you on television today and I thought you could maybe help me. And then he sends this list of everything that he wants. And it's like reams and reams of navy ribbon and little kind of jewels, little kind of button things, and I mean it's like a long list, and then he said, and here's a little story about me in the news you can watch. So I watched this little story, and you know, he definitely is living with some kind of mental, you know, incapacity. Right. I mean, there's something there, but I thought I love this guy, so I went on Amazon and I ordered all the supplies, and I sent them to him in a box, and I thought I might never hear from him again, but I got this letter like 2 days ago from him. He's already made these little angel ribbons, and he's given them out. He's given them out to 6,000 first responders, police officers. But I mean, and I'm thinking, you know what? There's places where every single one of us can serve. And there's something about that that is just, I think it's one of those divine principles that only we'll only understand later. But when we reach out as opposed to look down, it changes something inside. And we can't all do, you know, things that cost a ton of money. We can all do something though, even if it's writing a note to somebody or texting, calling somebody. When you take your eyes off yourself for a minute and focus outward on how could I make today a better day for somebody, that really helps me. And he just blows me away. I'm waiting for his next order.
That is fantastic. I want to laugh. I want to cry. I want to high five you. Because that's fantastic. Because those are the kinds of things that I think in our world we've become so close to, and we become fearful of, and like, oh, yeah, he's writing me a letter and all that. I mean, right, you know, some that is a little offbeat, right? So, but what I love about, I mean, yeah. But what I love about that is, I mean, come on, look at it. Look what happened. That is right up my alley. I love that so much, sister. I also love that you end your book talking about being held, because honestly, this is what we really need to know. God's holding on to us is on a different level than our holding on to him. It's supernatural strength versus human strength.
Yeah.
So can you just encourage someone who needs to know they are held by God today?
Yeah, I think that's one of the most important, if Lisa and I could share anything with you, it would simply be that God, the one who spoke the planets, the stars, the universe in place, who's holding everything in place at the moment, is holding you. And sometimes we want something that we can see with our own eyes, but I read this quote in Warren Wiersbe's commentary on Romans. He said that we live by faith and not by explanation. And sometimes I want explanation, but we're called to live by faith, knowing that God sees you, that he loves you, that he's for you. And when you feel as if you don't have 1 ounce of strength left, he is holding you, and he will never, never let you go.
Amen and amen to that. Okay, sister, here's a few rapid fire questions, just super fun, whatever is kind of the first thing that comes to your mind. Or in my case, that's scary. So, but you can give it 1 second thought. Okay, here we go. What's the kind of friend you need?
Oh, wow. The kind of friend I need is somebody who doesn't need me to be able to show up every Tuesday at 10 o'clock for coffee, but that when we can get together, we'll be happy that we see each other.
That is perfect. Okay, noted. I put that in my notebook so I can make sure that we're solidify our friendship for life. Okay, what is your favorite season?
Oh, fall, definitely. I think same. I love fall so much just because, you know, in Texas, it's so blooming hot through the summer that when I walk out with the dogs for the first morning, you feel that kind of coolness in the air. It's like, oh, hallelujah, we can go on.
Yes. Oh, I feel that. And I mean, I don't live in Texas. I live in North Carolina. We have seasons here, but I love fall so much. Everything about it, crisp, sweater weather, I don't know, cider, all of the things.
Fires. Yeah, I look better, more clothed. Summer's not a high thing for me.
I love it. Bring me all the sweaters. Favorite junk food? Since we're talking about sweaters to cover things up, let's just go into junk food. What's your favorite junk food?
Chips and guacamole.
So good. Okay, we'll do that on our date when I see you, but there's no pressure. That's what we'll do. All right, something that brings you hope.
Wow, something that brings me hope. Honestly, I started getting up a little earlier recently just because I had a lot of things. I felt like my whole day was taken up with things that I couldn't get out of. And I wanted some time that was just me. Every single sunrise brings me hope. There's something about the darkness of evening and that when it's beginning to turn into morning and you first see the sun begin to rise, that gives me tremendous hope.
That's so good. All right. Dinner with anyone dead or alive. It should be a weird dinner if they were dead, but you know what I mean. Dinner with anyone dead or alive.
Abraham. The reason I would want to have dinner with Abraham is I want to understand. Now, Abraham, when he trusted God and left everything and headed out with his whole family, he didn't have the Bible. He didn't have the Torah. There was nothing. I want to know what it was in Abram that helped him trust God and walk into the unknown.
Gosh, that's a great conversation.
Yes.
I want to be there. That would be an amazing thing to talk to Abraham about. Yeah. Yes. Well, hopefully one day we will know the answer to that question.
Yes.
One day. All right, friend, here's my last question. I asked it last time of you. I'm going to ask it again because I ask it of every single guest on every single show. And I know sometimes in our different moments in life, we might have a different response. So I'd love to hear what you would say today. What is the last thing you would say about Jesus, if you could only say one more thing?
The last thing I would say about Jesus is you will never meet anybody who knows every single thing about you and yet who loves you more than anyone else.
That wraps it up. Thank you, Sheila, for being on the show today. Thank you for your beautiful book, Holding On When You Want to Let Go. It is a powerful offering for all of us, and I just appreciate you sharing your journey.
Thank you, Lisa. I love you.
I love you too, friend. Have you been looking for a new Bible study? I've got one for you. The Hard Good, Showing Up for God to Work in You, is a 6-week guide to help you become more kingdom usable through the hard circumstances in life. All about the lives of King Saul and David, you do not want to miss it. 6 videos, down to earth and theologically rock solid coordinating curriculum, the whole works. Grab a friend or 10 or 50, do this together. I have been praying and believing it will be life-changing for you. And it's available on Amazon and lisawhittle.com/good and all other book retailers right now.